Welcome, it's Helen Page here on The Helen Page Show, and today I have a special guest who's been on the show before, who, after I begged her, agreed to come back on, and it's Michelle Pepler. Welcome, Michelle.
Thanks, Helen. How are you going?
Good, good, good.
Should it be? Thank you for having me again.
No, it was awesome. You got amazing feedback last time you were on, and I was going to say it for you, but actually I'm going to let you say it because you say it so much better than me. But tell us what you've been up to and how even you've transformed since we saw you last and how you've grown and what you're going to be talking to us about today.
Okay, great. Thanks, Helen. I appreciate it. Okay, so I am the founder of a couple of businesses. I started a business called Within Without, which is helping women with awakening, self-love, purpose, all these sorts of things. And along the journey, I found a couple of things. One is that we're going through this huge transformational period where the world as we know it is completely changing. It's shaking up. And as people transform, they're really feeling quite alone. And so they're really calling for other people who are on a similar journey or, they figure out what they want to do with their life and they want to work out who else might be aligned and doing that with them. So people are really craving their people. And I started kind of looking at this, myself included, in my own journey. And the kind of people who tend to be drawn to my work are, the healers and the facilitators and the social innovators and the conscious entrepreneurs of the future who really want to make a difference. And they either don't know how to ground it or they're feeling like, I can't do it all alone. So there's a reason for this, and the reason is that, the time of the lone wolf is over and we're not meant to do it all alone anymore. So we're moving away from a lot of overbalances in different areas, and one of them is this old notion of I have to be independent, I have to do it by myself. Being dependent on anybody for anything is wrong, it's weak, it's submissive. And the reality is we do need each other, and that's how we create synergy. And what's required of the world now is that we come together with other people who have aligned spiritual purpose for that synergy. So what I'm doing now is I'm concentrating a lot on that, on connecting people together, on actually creating those relationships, whether they're business partnerships, whether they're creative collaborations, whether they're romantic connections, whether they're soul friendships, and helping people to, get on and do what they're here to do and to be really supported and fulfilled through that. So, that's my really long answer.
Oh, no, it's a great answer. So Project Wake Up, which you're the founder of, tell us a little bit about that and how that works in with what you were just talking about.
Beautiful. Thank you. So Project Wake Up is...
Great title, by the way. I love that title. It's like, oh my God, it sounds like it's something already famous, like Project Wake Up.
It's really funny, actually, because when I first started doing this work for myself, that was the name that came into my head. And for some reason, I didn't do anything with it, which is a great lesson to listen to your intuition because it hasn't gone away. It's pretty simple. Project Wake Up is it's the action of, it's a project that we're working on, and the project is awakening. So we do that on two levels. One is on the individual level, Project Wake Up. When I'm working on a personal level with someone, it's Project You.
Yeah.
So it's all about you. It's about your personal journey, what's going on. What happens in that process is that people awaken to realizing that I'm here to make some sort of difference to the planet or to the, to people or humanity or the animals or whatever. Mm-hmm. So by them waking up, they in effect wake up other people in their own circles and communities. And then we have, a Project We, which is actually awakening the collective. Right. So that's what it's about.
Yeah. And how do we wake the collective?
How do we wake the collective? Big question.
I know it's not a small question, but it is. It's kind of a constant frustration, isn't it? It feels like it's. I feel like it's been happening and happening. It's a bit like an orgasm that never comes. It's like this is going to be it, and it's like oh no. And then the numerology or the astrology says next year, people. It's going to be next year, and yet my sense is it's probably happening behind the scenes the whole time? So, you know, like, is it happening behind the scenes because individually we're doing it? But how do we sustain that and get it to wake almost like whole groups of people? Maybe that's a really big question.
Gosh, do you want to know the meaning of life as well? Same. I do, as always. I have an answer. It's my answer, though, so it's an opinion. It's funny because, like, when you're just saying that, it's like the Big Bang, isn't it? Like, I'm waiting for the genesis of all existence to happen. Look, what I think is, I do think it's happening. I think it depends on what you're seeing as to whether or not your perspective is that it's happening or not. Mm-hmm. I can tell you right now that my experience of, say, the few years before I woke up, for want of a better word, and my experience of reality now are completely different. So I see evidence everywhere of people doing this work and awakening people in their circles and communities. And before that, I wouldn't have had any idea. Yeah. So it really depends where you're looking. There's huge communities. There's, you know, if you look at a website like Wake Up World, who have, you know, 3.5 to 4 million followers, that's, you know, we have 7 billion people on the planet. The 4 million people being aware of this stuff just on one little website or one, you know, big website is a sign that people are onto something. So, first answer is it's happening. Mm-hmm. It's definitely happening. Second answer is if you have a feeling and you have an inkling that life and your reality and the way that you're living isn't quite working anymore, that's usually the first sign that you're about to awaken.
Yeah, because my next question was going to be like, hold on a minute, what does it mean to be awake? Like, how do you know? And like, aren't you always awakening then to the next level and the next level and the next level? So, you know, you're never awoken, you're just always waking. Is that right?
Damn straight. I think it's exactly. It's pretty simple. When you, I liken it to when you're awake, you are aware of things that you've been asleep to before. Okay. So it's like a greater connection to truth,
okay,
to your personal truth and to the universal truth.
Yep.
It's, I mean, it is what it is. It's like when you're asleep, you're unconscious.
Yeah, it's the awareness. Okay? Yeah, it's the awareness.
You're in dreamland. When you're awake, you see things that you didn't see before. You hear things that you didn't hear before.
Mm.
You have access to information that you may not have had access to before. You seem to notice synchronicities and coincidences more because you're open to those opportunities. You will connect with people, other people who are having similar experiences and journeys so that you can, you know, talk about these things.
Yeah.
And you start realizing that everything that you thought that you knew before is not what it was, and that makes you question everything. Yeah. So that's kind of the signs. When you start questioning and you start not just believing things because they've been told to you or mm-hmm. sold to you mm-hmm. or, you know, given to you through mass media or propaganda mm. or marketing or the news or even, yeah. you know, our hierarchical systems, corporations yeah. and governments.
Yeah.
That's part of that awakening yeah. process.
Because there's, there's whole systems, aren't there, who have, like, you know, studied all of psychology and the brain, who use all that information to purposefully make us asleep, you know. I mean, really,
did you know there's more people actually studying the human mind, the consciousness and the way that we work and the way that we make decisions in advertising and marketing than there is in medicine?
Yep.
And health?
I so easily believe that makes complete sense because they really know what they're doing. And look, you know, having studied psychology, I remember learning that stuff. And I remember at one point, you know, a teacher of mine saying, you know, if you want to make money as a psychologist, go into advertising and marketing and you'll rake it in. And I was like, yeah, but I don't really like it, you know, at the time. I was like, damn.
but then you find out in your Excel, I studied marketing too, right, and psychology. Isn't that funny, though, that, you know, now I feel like, you know, I've learned that so I can have to share that with people of what's actually really going on.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's that catch 20. Sorry, you go.
We just crossed over there. That's that technology thing. So the thing is, it's not just what people are buying in terms of products and services, and this is the thing that people don't understand. It's also buying ideas. It's buying discourse. It's buying what is good and bad and right and wrong and acceptable and not acceptable and what success is and what's important and what we should be doing and what's punishable.
Yeah.
And people buy this stuff and they think that that's just how it is, and it's not.
So so talk to me a little bit, because we were talking before we got online, or on air, about, you know, working cooperatively versus, you know, being in competition and how that's changing in the world or how it needs to change.
Beautiful. So I have this burning desire to want to share this information around what's going on as a collective, and that we're moving away from competition and into this new world of collaboration. And I think it's something a lot of people are feeling anyway. Some aren't. We're all at different places in this sliding scale. So there's two things. One is knowing it's happening, and the second thing is, how do I navigate it?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll try to keep it concise, but what's kind of going on is that we are going through, as I said, like massive shifts, and the way that we're doing things in many different areas is not working anymore. And it's pretty evident for, you know, just to look around and see some of the death and destruction and disharmony in people's lives, you know, that, you know, we've got to change some things. And one of the things that we've been doing has been living in a world of separation from each other, and this idea of there's not enough to go around. So when we live from that place and we live in a state of fear, then I only win because you lose.
Right.
So there has to be a loser.
Yeah.
Now, if anyone knows anything about, you know, feminine and masculine energy, this is not about anybody being wrong or bad or better than the other, but competition is predominantly a masculine energy, if you like, and we've been in a really huge overbalance of masculine energy on the planet for many thousands of years. And these are things like you know, bigger is better, harder, faster, stronger, expansion, conquering, industry, which has been really, it's necessary for progress, because if we don't have any of that drive and that action, then nothing happens. But what's gone on is we've got, and you can see it in women, in men, on the planet in general, we have just use this masculine energy. We're depleting the planet. There's not enough to go around. So what's kind of going on is that we're shifting to bringing this other energy into what is, which is the feminine energy. And the feminine energy is around community and cooperation and co-creation and collaboration, and working together for the same cause. So that's what we're moving towards. If you're interested in looking at some of this stuff, Bruce Lipton, who is an amazing scientist who does a lot of work around the biology of belief, and he talks about this notion of the basal paradigm. I don't know if you've heard of it, which is basically, you know, it's the answer to three big questions. Why are we here? You know, where do we come from? Why are we here, and how do we make the best of it whilst we're here? And whoever is in the power that answers those questions within particular eras sort of sets what is true, and you'll kind of believe it. So a really quick summary is that we've kind of gone from this idea that spirit was the most important thing, and therefore, you know, foregoing material possessions. And we gave our power away to the men in the black frocks. Then we had Darwinism, where everything was based on the material.
Yeah.
And then we kind of got rid of everything to do with spirituality.
Yeah.
And we made the material the only thing that matters. And part of that process was this, you know, survival of the fittest, that evolution comes from just a mutation, and if we don't get our bit,
mm-hmm.
then we cease to exist and we become extinct.
Yeah.
So we're also moving out of that as well. Because
that's good.
You know? Yeah. So I guess the first thing to know is that this is just what's going on, and that we need to, if we keep operating the way that we're operating, we're not going to have a planet.
Yeah.
We're not going to have a humanity. So, you know, sometimes we need to look at where am I operating from, and why am I coming from this place in terms of the greater good and the greater purpose. It might sound a little bit, you know, love and light,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, if we're fighting for car spaces, or we're fighting for, you know, for a voice, or for stuff at the shopping centre, or for that promotion at work, sometimes you've got to kind of take a step back and go, what am I fighting for? And a lot of the time it's not actually the thing.
Mm.
It's more this, like, sense of self. Yeah. Like, I have to win here because I need to feel valid and I need to feel significant. And at some point in my life, I haven't.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got a lot of people out there, we're kind of like trying to, what we're actually trying to do is get energy.
Yeah, fear of missing out, isn't it? Like, it's that really big thing that people, I mean, I hear it in crazy things, like someone saying, oh, I can't not go out to dinner because I might miss out. And I'm like, miss out on what, you know? I'll miss out on seeing, you know, being in the cool group, or I'll miss out on the, there's this whole sort of paradigm around missing out on something. Like, you've lived your whole life and you missed out on being the millionaire, or having driven that car, or being in the best house, as though if you suddenly had it, you'd be like, tick, got that. You wouldn't enjoy it, you know. It reminds me of, gosh, I can't remember his name now, but it's a really big movie director, and I hope I got the information right, but I'm pretty sure he's the movie director that did a lot of Jim Carrey's movies, and he did this amazing documentary, maybe called Life. I'd have to double check it, but this was years ago. I saw him on Oprah, back when Oprah was playing, but he, you know, made it big in Hollywood, making these movies, and he said he did what he thought you were meant to do, which was buy, you know, 5 mansions, massive mansions, you know. And then he was sitting there one day and he went, you know, I'm actually not happy. This isn't actually fulfilling to me. And he ended up selling them all and, you know, doing these amazing projects to help people all around the world.
I think I know. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I know who it is.
I can't remember his name. Yeah, we'll have to look that up for the show notes if we're organised enough. But then, you know, showed us the house he now lives in, and it was this sort of this little white wooden house. And he said, this is actually, I've just worked out all that I really need, you know, my kitchen, and I feel quite happy. And he's, you know, in a T-shirt. You would never know he was a multi-millionaire, you know, walking around every day. He said it doesn't define who he is. And now he, you know, if anything, having that money's given him the ability to, you know, go out and help people. But I do hear people say all the time, like, it's the new thing to say, and it kind of makes me cringe when I hear it, when people say, oh, I want to make millions, but it's so I can help people. And I think, oh, get stuffed, you know, like, I know that sounds terrible, but, you know, in my opinion, you can help people now with your $100 a week or whatever, right? You can actually be giving $10 of that to the guy down the street now. Not this whole notion of, and you know, that director guy, he wasn't motivated to go and help people. That's not why he made his money. He was probably selfishly motivated. It was only after he had it that he went, do you know what? I've got so much. It's kind of pathetic to use it all on myself. Well, not pathetic. He could have, but he didn't want to. And I think that's the difference. You know, we can make those conscious shifts right now, but a lot of people plan to make them when they get to some extraordinary place where they're safe and they can't miss out anymore. Then they're okay to help everybody else and collaborate. But meanwhile, they're going to be separate because that's the only way to get there, exactly what you're kind of saying. Sorry, I've gone a bit off track. But
no, not at all. Can I speak to that, actually?
Yeah, go for it.
It made me think of, So, again, a couple of things. One is that, like I said, you know, the reason we consume all this stuff, whether it's the FOMO of not going out to dinner, or that, you know, I haven't got the portfolio of houses or the best outfit or whatever, is because stuff is an extension of our identity, right? So, you know, Eckhart Tolle talks about it a lot. It's like, just we kind of go like, oh, I must be a valid human being because I have this stuff that tells me that I am, right? Because our society dictates that that's the stuff that makes you, you know, important and successful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as you just rightly pointed out, that's not what makes you happy, and it's not what makes you fulfilled. It's not even, you know, what makes you look successful to other people. So for anybody, the first thing is realizing that, you know, that that's a fallacy, and that you don't need anything to be happy. It doesn't mean that you can't have nice things and want nice things or want to be able to have resources to do good things.
Yeah.
So the difference is when you actually are doing it from a place not of, you know, needing to plug a hole and needing to consume, and then, you know, when we come from that place, then you can just go out and do anything that you know that you want to or that you desire to, and I don't know, it just comes from a pure place, I guess.
Yeah. And what do we need to sort of like consciously shift to wanting to collaborate more? I know that sounds like a terrible thing to say out loud, but I mean, you know, it does it like anything, because it's new, because, you know, for me, being raised in a Western world, it, you know, I was sort of brought up in that mentality of, you know, me. Or look, maybe I'm making that up, because, I mean, my background is Greek and it's really we, actually. But still, I became really into, you know, that it's all about me, because I grew up in Australia. Probably wasn't like that for my parents who grew up in Greece. And they probably look at me like I'm some sort of, you know, like genetic mutation now, because they don't get that I'm all about me. But... you know, like, do I now, because I want to train myself and, you know, I don't want to pretend, yeah, I got this collaboration thing going on, because I don't. Do I have to mindfully do stuff to get into that zone of collaboration versus that competitiveness? Because I suppose, you know, like, I'm well known on air and anywhere for honesty, right? Like, whereas someone else will pretend they've been doing it all along, I'll very openly say, I probably suck at that, you know, like, and so I want to know how to get more collaborative, because that's the truth. I don't believe we really know how to do it, or else we would be doing it all this time and we wouldn't even need you on this podcast.
That's funny, because remember last time we spoke, I don't know if you do remember, but that was one of the things you were talking about, is that, like, for you, you're actually, you know, you do want to connect with other people and reach out and, you know, that's something that you're experiencing in your own life. So, you know,
if there's no problem, how do I do it more?
Here's the thing: is if there's no problem, there's no problem, right?
There's always a bit of a problem, isn't there? Always a little bit of a problem. Can't we always improve? In other words, I want to be more awake.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, though. I guess it's a, you know, little coaching one-on-one joke, is that, like, people kind of, it's like, well, what's the problem? What is the thing that you're actually, that's the issue here? So you shouldn't want to be collaborating because you think that that's the thing to do, right? That's not why you should be doing it. Then you're just subscribing to another, you know, another set of belief systems going, right. Oh, this is the thing, this is the hot thing right now. Have you heard the collaborations really right now?
I love it. You know? But it is like the hot thing right now.
What was that movie with Ali G, when I think the Borat thing that he did, and he was doing the thing going to these people in America, these women that sold, like, designer charities, and it was all about success and stature, and it was like, oh, you know, like, the third world's really hot right now.
Yeah, right.
These kids like that, that makes you look really, really cool. So my thing is, you know, you feel it. So we shouldn't want to do anything. But when you feel that, I feel like, and I get a lot of clients that do this, I'm like, I really want a business partner, or I really want a romantic partner, or I really want some great friends in my life. I just wish I had people that I could, that speak my language and then I could sort of bounce off, or that were on this journey with me. Mm-hmm. So when we feel that bubbling up inside of us intuitively, that's when we kind of go, all right, it's time to actually start looking for alliances.
Okay.
Now, how do you do it? Lots and lots of different ways. But you're talking like there's the mindset or the emotions and the heart in terms of the internal shift. So that just comes, that's not something that you need to make yourself do.
Okay.
So once you've got that desire, anyone, if you want to connect and you want to collaborate, then the how-to is, you know, it's a different thing.
Okay.
So I don't think that you need to make yourself do anything. Maybe the awareness that if you're looking at your behavior and it feels ugly, that's usually a good indicator that maybe, you know, I might want to be a bit more cooperative, or I might want to be, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fighting somebody over their head with your bag of tomatoes at a sale or a fruit shop. And I guess the other thing, there's something that's just been coming in for the last 5 or 10 minutes that I haven't actually said, but I'm just going to put it in here, which is, and you talked about it around boundaries,
mm-hmm.
because I think what happens is people get scared that, you know, if I go into some sort of collaboration or community, I might lose something.
Mm.
I might lose myself. I might lose the ability to have my creative ideas be included. I might not have enough in terms of the resources that I get back, you know, the finances. I might lose my time, you know, la, la, la. So it's always about what do you feel that you might be losing out on or giving up by moving into this place of community and connection and collaboration.
Mm.
So the first thing is know what your needs are.
Mm.
And it's okay to have needs. It's okay to make sure that they're being met and that you only give what you have to give when you have to give it. Because otherwise you're overgiving, and that happens a lot in the healing circles, where then you're depleted and you're resentful and then you hate the community that you're part of because your needs aren't being met. So if you think about it, like I'm getting this picture in my head of these ducks on the river when I used to live in Warrandyte, and I would see these ducks and I would watch them and be like, these ducks have got it sorted, hey. They're like, they just meander down the river. And they, you know, they go over here for a little bit of food, and they go over here for whatever is going on. They don't just make a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
They're not like, you know, but there's a faster way to get down the river to the end of it. They're enjoying the journey. And what's amazing that I noticed about them is I could see these two different things going on. I can see how they work together for like looking after each other, for example, when there's predators. Other birds, you know, they fly together, like geese when they fly is it south, I think, for the winter? I remember reading this thing that they fly 70% faster and further in a group than they do alone.
Mm.
See it in nature, you know, like trees grow together in groups. We're meant to actually do things together. It's more powerful. We create, we can create more powerfully together. You know, a man and a woman created a child that they can't create by themselves together. We are more powerful together. It's that simple. Now, in saying this, I also saw these ducks wobbling over the breadcrumbs and stuff that they're being thrown because they need to get their needs met and they need to make sure that they're eating. So there is this interplay going on between I need to make sure that I am, you know, and as human beings we need to be fed not just nutritionally, but we need to be fed, you know, emotionally and spiritually and creatively and physically and, you know, all of these things. And this is the funny thing. When we're full and, you know, we're in that place of going, I feel so full of goodness, of love, of life, of nourishment, all these things, we don't have any issue with cooperating and collaborating because no one's taking anything from us. That's where the fear comes from. The fear goes like, oh, I don't have enough clients. So, you know, or I don't have enough money, or I don't have enough clothes in my wardrobe when I'm going to the sale or whatever. Mm-hmm. So when we're operating from fear of not enoughness,
mm-hmm.
then you shouldn't be collaborating from that. When you know what your needs are and you make sure that you've got really healthy boundaries, and when you have all of you to give all of you.
Mm. Yeah. Yep. Oh, you've frozen.
Your finances are low. Like, don't give your time, for example, when you know that you need to be making sure that your own kind of boat is full.
Yeah. Yep.
But then when it is, yep, then go out and, you know, connect with other people.
Yeah. And it is. It's funny.
And don't,
it's,
I know.
And, yeah, it's one of those timing things too. Like, I remember I was, for a couple of months, I'd been getting into, like, the kids' platforms with other kids' authors, and I go, does anyone want to start a podcast with me? Nah, crickets, right? And I'm like, oh. So then I ask this, do you want to start a podcast with me? Yeah, no, I'll think about it. Yeah, nah. And then I went, oh, well, I'll just leave that project. Anyway, a few weeks ago, I thought, do you know what? I'm going to just do this project, even if it's by myself, right? So I went, I said, hey, guys, I'm starting this project. Does anyone want to be interviewed? Yeah, yeah, me, right? And then one of them said, I would have loved to do that with you. And I'm like, really? So the right person came at the right time. Whereas yeah, initially I was sort of like desperate, you know, like desperate, collaborate with me. As soon as I kind of let that go and just went, you know what, I can actually do this by myself, then the yeah, right person to collaborate with just came along. And it was an amazing lesson of that, you know, like what you were talking about earlier about just letting it, allowing it to naturally happen. And, you know, if the collaboration didn't happen at the level of creating the show, the collaboration was still happening at the level where I suddenly had all these people who wanted to be guests. So, yeah, it's amazing. I think it's a lesson in kind of letting go as well for me a lot of the time.
And the difference there, what you just said as well, it's, again, it's like the difference of the motivation not being about need and desperation and fear.
Yeah, and being, exactly.
And because a lot of people as well, they want to collaborate actually because they're not brave enough to do it by themselves.
Right. See, I hadn't thought of that because I'll always do it by myself. I don't have a problem with that, but I like sharing it with somebody else because it's sort of just more enjoyable.
Yeah.
You know, like, exactly. I mean, I could do everything myself. I kind of have proven that to myself, but doing it with someone else just doubles the joy for me. And yet it feels like no one wants to do it with me, you know, sometimes. But, you know, I suppose there's a lot of issues for some people about doing things with others. You know, a lot of people have been hurt or used or, you know, in divorce. Look at the, divorce, not just in, like, marital relationship, but just divorces of all descriptions, you know, has maybe made people a little frightened. I don't know.
That's a really good analogy to use, actually, though, because people get divorced. They get, you know, like yeah, when we talk about intimate partners, most people have been burnt and they've been hurt and they've had their heart broken. It's part of that journey of life. So people really understand that and it's tangible for them. And we also understand that if you're looking to bring a new lover or life partner into your life, you need to heal your wounds, mm-hmm, and, you know, go into the past a little bit and have a look at those things and clean them up. So you can transfer that to every other area of life too, can't you? Yeah. You know, like, it's usually the only reason that we don't go into business with people or into friendship with people or into, you know, going to events or community kinds of things. I know people with social anxiety, why don't they feel comfortable going and meeting people? Because at some point they've learned that it's not safe to do that. They've been burnt, they've been scarred, they've been hurt, yeah, whether they're 5 or 10 or, you know, 45-year-old, whether it's a divorce or whether it's ostracization, is that a word?
I think so.
In the playground,
yeah,
you know, or like somebody making you feel embarrassed or being burnt with buying a house with a friend or going into business. So
yeah,
what we've got to do is resolve that and
yeah,
get aligned with yourself, and then you'll get aligned with the right person. So with your project, for example, exactly, right? So and see, I mean, I've been burnt that way where you kind of go, this person seems like they're so aligned.
Mm.
And then you kind of go into a project or you go into a partnership or a collaboration, and then you realize that actually you're not quite aligned.
Mm.
And then it goes pear-shaped, and you go, I'm never collaborating with anybody ever again. I see how this stuff ends up.
Yeah.
Which is not true, right? Yeah. That's just our reaction. So clear that shit. And then what we need to do is make sure we're aligned, clearly. Make sure the project or the business or whatever it is that we're doing is in alignment with us.
Yeah.
Because that's another reason that things don't happen. And then get really clear on what it is that we're actually wanting to bring in as well. And I think that that's the key, because sometimes it's like I had a client say to me the other day, I just want a clone of me.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, do you though? Because like sometimes we think that we want somebody to, you know, help us go conquer the world, and we want the same person with the same skills and all that type of thing and the same drive. So maybe that's what you want, and you've got a shared vision. But maybe what you want is actually somebody with complementary skills,
yeah,
and that actually come in and they do different things. Or, you know, maybe what you want is somebody not to work on the business with you, but maybe in the business. So, you know, your collaborations might be people that are part of your kind of greater dream team rather than people that actually have a stake in what it is that you're doing. And sometimes we get confused. So if we're not, if we don't know what we want and why we want it, and we're just going, I just don't want to, I just basically don't want to do it, you know, by myself. Or the opposite, that, you know, I want to do everything myself, then, you know, both of those approaches don't work. So it's kind of simple.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it ought to be simple.
And human part's the complicated part, you know, the things where we go, you know, why isn't this the way that I want it to be? And, or, you know, I've got stuff that I need to deal with from the past. But we know with any kind of growth work, anything that you want is just the first thing you do is have a look at the lay of the land. Just, you know, just look at my life, my position, what's going on, what's working, what's not working. What have I done up until now that's got me here? Which parts of those have worked?
Yeah.
Which parts of those have not worked? Yeah. And then we, you know, do something with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to sort of lately look at everything starting in the negative, which sounds really like counterintuitive. But see, when I start in the negative, then I already expect it. So let me give you an example. Like if, for example, you know, like we meet someone and we notice all the amazing things about them, and we're like, you know, you go home and, well, I do, and I'll go home and I'll be like, oh my God, I met this person today, and you know, they're amazing, they're A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and like they're just perfect. And then slowly they start to disappoint you because, you know, everybody, and I mean,
because you've put in the blanks and you've made them something
right,
that they're not.
Right. But you know, this is how so many of us meet each other. We see all the great things. Or, yeah, you know, I'll have people project things onto me because, you know, they've watched this show or they've heard this CD and they're like, oh, and then they'll come to my house and hang out for a day and they'll be like, oh, my God, like you're so
problematically
normal. You're so normal. I thought you'd be like, you know, perfect, like Helen Page. And I'm like, really? Because, I actually get that a lot.
You're so not Helen Page. Helen Page I thought you were.
Honestly, I get that sentence so much. For someone who's really raw and out there, I cannot believe I get that at least a few times a week, I reckon. I really do. But so when I sort of, you know, like see people, that not the negatives, it's not even the right words, but see people kind of for, you know, some of the things that I notice annoy me straight off, like, and I make peace with that, then it's like they can only go up from there, and I accept all of them. So then at some point I don't kind of go, oh, I can't handle that person, which like is very much what I used to do when I was younger. You know, love that person. I think I learned that from my parents, you know, like they're the next greatest thing. You know, we're hanging out with them forever now, and then slowly their little idiosyncrasies would start to annoy them. So I'd sort of do the opposite. I notice the idiosyncrasies first and go, okay, that's cool. And so then all the nice things are a delight.
Yeah, then it's just a bonus, huh?
Anyways, I know it sounds a little...
You can love everybody, but you don't have to like everybody.
No, because actually it's impossible to like everybody is what I'm trying to say. Like it's the concept of you're going to like everything about everybody is so ridiculous to me. Like, you know, I want to throw my children over the fence several times a week. You know, and I don't go, oh, I just like everything. I don't. There's heaps of things about my own children, my husband, that I don't like. And then they change again, you know, like but they're in a safe environment where I can say that to them and they know I don't dislike them. I just dislike the behaviors or what they're doing or that thing they're saying. And we grow with each other, you know, rather than having some sort of perfectionist view of, you know, how we kind of see each other. So, you know, for me, collaboration is warts and all. It's not something about finding some perfect clone or, you know, oh my God, you're the other half of what I'm not. Because they might be that at the beginning, but then they might not be that after a few weeks, you know. I think it's just knowing that it's right and taking a journey for as long as you're meant to with that person or with that tribe. You'll feel it when you're not meant to be taking it anymore. And it's often not because of their errors or they stuffed it up. In fact, I believe sometimes we purposefully set the situation up for our people to fail so that we can have an excuse to walk away from them. Because, you know, like, just because someone fails or stuffs up does not mean they weren't the right partner or it wasn't the right collaboration. It's all about what you do in that environment. And, you know, like, I don't know if you've seen, there's like the triangle, right? And the triangle has the top 10% is the environment. Whatever's happening, it's the environment's only to blame for 10% of it. If you change the environment, you've only changed 10%. And then 20% are your thoughts. And then, I think I've got that right, 20% are your thoughts. And
which triangle are you talking about? Because I'm like, I've just been through all these different triangles I've seen in different models.
Triangles. Have you seen this triangle?
I don't know, which triangle?
I don't know. It's the triangle.
Are you talking about like the subconscious? The conscious, subconscious?
It's kind of like everything. It's not just the subconscious. Like it's in terms of the net effect of your life, right?
Oh, yeah.
10% is contributed to by the environment. So got it. If you're, you know, like all your relationships are failing, all your collaborations are failing, you know, and you say, oh, it's obviously because I'm living in Melbourne, I'm going to go live in blah, blah, blah. Oh my God, the people here are so much nicer, you know, but nothing changes because the environment just changes 10% of that. And your thoughts count for 20% and then your emotions count for 70%. But underneath all of that, 100% of the foundation are your belief systems. And, you know, like if your belief system is, like that you can't collaborate or you don't do well in things with other people, then like you said, just because it's the trend, you'll fail at it and you'll blame them instead of you. But it's ultimately your own, what you're believing about yourself in collaboration with other people or about your masculine or feminine or whatever it is, you know, so... Yeah,
it's pretty funny actually what you're saying because, you've just spoken to people think that relationships are just really organic, like friendships and relationships. So they're like, oh, I need to do work on this whole, like, you know, getting my body looking amazing or, you know, my diet, my exercise and my career. But relationships, that's not something I actually have to put any intention or effort into. And what you don't realize or what people don't realize is all of those things you're talking about is absolutely, we've got all sorts of beliefs that you see coming through, like that color our experience of what's going on. And it's really easy to project and say, this is just how it is. Like, I don't know, the belief could be, you know, the world is not safe or I'm all alone in the world. Nobody gets me. Nobody understands me. Nobody knows what I'm going through or everybody leads me. These are some really common ones, you know. I'm not safe. I'm all alone in the world. I'm crazy. I don't belong. These are like really fundamental beliefs that a lot of people have. And the funny thing is, and I was talking about this the other day, and why I'm so passionate about this, because the amount of people that I work with one-on-one, I'm pretty lucky, like you would be as well, because you're privy to knowing what's going on behind the scenes for so many people. And what happens is when we're out there in the world, we don't get to see that. So I love this analogy that what we actually see is the other person's highlight reels. You know, when you're watching like you see a trailer for a movie and you're like, that movie looks awesome. And then you go and see it and you're like, this movie I've ever seen in my entire life, right? Because you've seen the highlight reels. Yeah. And it's the same with people, particularly on stuff like social media. like Instagram and Facebook, but we're like, oh my God, that person has the most amazing life. You know, they're so together. They're so, because we're seeing this tiny, tiny little part of who they are. And then we compare our behind the scenes with somebody else's highlight reel. And we wonder why we feel like, you know, less than. So what I hear all the time with people over and over again is, you know, everybody else, I go to things and everyone else has already got their group. They've already got their tribe. They've got their friends. They've got their niche. Or, you know, everybody else is already living their truth. Everyone else seems to have their shit together. And what they don't realize is that, you know, maybe I'll end up working with some person that that person's talking about. And then I get that person's behind the scenes. And I think, if you only had any idea what's actually going on in the other people that you're, you know, that you're comparing yourself to. So,
that's so
we need to kind of cut ourselves a little bit of slack, I think.
That's a good point. Okay, so what else do we need to know about all this stuff?
I don't know. We kind of like, as always, we always end up, you know, talking about all sorts of different things. Look, I guess the thing is there's nothing to learn necessarily or to do. It's just to be aware that this is kind of going on, and that if you are feeling potentially lonely or feeling like you want to connect with people, there's a reason for it, and it's greater than your individual experiences. Maybe also be aware of that we don't need to steal power from each other. We don't need to steal energy from each other. And once you realize you can give yourself power and you can give yourself energy through things like doing personal development work, through meditating, through, you know, doing nurturing practices and the like, then you can connect to people and with people from a very different place, and you don't need to worry about anybody. Nobody can take from you what you aren't willing to give. Right? Nobody can do that. No one can make you feel something that you don't at some level believe about yourself. So, you know, we really need to be empowered, be full, so that that's coming through you, and then go out and just do your thing, live your life, figure out what that is, and, you know, call out for aligned people to come and connect with you from, you know, whatever part of them that you want them to.
What happens if people don't connect? You know, like I hear people who go, you know, I'm ready, I'm so ready for those new people, or I'm ready for that tribe, or, but no one's coming, nothing's coming. Like, do they need to?
They'll come see me.
They've got some blocks, that's what you're saying. They've got something.
Blocks, yeah, because, I mean, I can speak to that, but to be honest, it's much more complicated. It's not generic, it's not general, because, okay, I'll speak to it. It's bullshit, I
That's
guess.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah, it's not, we have, it's, everything external is internal. Yeah. Everything external is internal.
Yeah.
So your experience of reality, everybody's experience of reality is not reality. It's a representation of reality.
Perfect.
So, you know, if you want to look at, well, what's going on, how I'm doing things isn't working, then there's a great chance that it's something within you that you, like a blind spot. So it is good to usually get somebody that's outside of you to help you to, you know, to show you the blind spots, because the blind spot is exactly that. It's something that you can't see by yourself without your mirrors or somebody going, hey, you know, did you know you've got this thing on the back of you? So, you know, looking at somebody to help you work out what your beliefs are, what your self-sabotage patterns are, why you might be affected, what's gone on for you in in your life or your past life or whatever that might be actually impacting you here in the here and now. That's the internal stuff. And then, of course, there's always practical strategies and methodologies as well.
Because it's a bit like actually today that I'm interviewing you, although it won't air today that I'm interviewing you, but it's actually the 8th of November, and on today's Channeling Tuesday, which I recorded earlier today, it was all about how it's actually natural It's natural to be creative. It's natural to be intuitive. And so I feel like that applies to this, like what you were saying earlier. It's natural to be balanced in your masculine, feminine. It's natural to be balanced in your, you know, cooperation, collaboration. These things ought to be natural and be happening anyway. So if they're not, you're spot on. Like, it's something that you're not seeing, that you're doing, that's creating you to be off that center place where you ought to be.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I guess the thing is, if you're at a party and it's awesome, you're not asking the reason for the party, right? You're not asking who you put this party on anyway, why are we even here, you know, what's the point of this party? You're having a good time, it's awesome. So it's exactly the same with life. If there's no questions and everything's awesome, you're doing it right. Yeah. Things are working. If you're feeling disharmony, you know, disease, if you're tired, if you're restless, if you're questioning, if you're confused, any of those emotions that are kind of like just not just being and doing and living from a place of this just feels good, then that's when you need to start, you know, like seeking out someone to maybe help you or to do some self-inquiry or start to look at why.
Yeah.
Why is part of my life not working or not in flow?
Because you're asleep.
Because you're asleep.
Oh, Michelle, it's been a joy. It always is. I always love talking to you.
I know, it's such a pleasure.
But we have run out of time. So before we say goodbye to everybody, remind us all where we can find you and online. Whereabouts do you live online?
Cool. Okay, so www.withinwithout.com.au. Project Wake Up website is still in, what do they call that, under construction at the moment. But there's a Facebook page, so you can also just connect with me on Facebook. My name's Michelle Kepler, Peppler. I will normally connect with most people on Facebook until I run out of friends that I can connect with people. And both of those Facebook pages, you can find me as well. So all through Helen, you'll put some links up.
I will put the links up. Absolutely. Thank you, Michelle.
You're welcome. Thank you for your time. Beautiful.
And I hope we'll chat again soon. We should do it like every 6 months or something, I think. There'll be a nice little catch-up talking about...
Oh, where are we now?
Take care. Yeah. See you.
Bye. Thanks so much.